It's a Friday morning on KID's Morning News, and joining us in studio this morning is Idaho Falls Mayor Rebecca Casper. Mayor, welcome. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Neil. Good morning.
Also, Carrie Hammond, who's, more than just the public information officer for Idaho Falls, she's also overseeing all of the communications regionally for the event of the eclipse is here with us, too. Hi, Carrie.
Good morning.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. Mayor, we're 10 days away, and so maybe give us an overview. Brief us on Idaho Falls and what's happening.
Well, there are several ways that I could run with an opening like that, but I'll tell you that I'm very proud of the effort that the first responders and the public health, those who are responsible for delivering public health, have made in our region. We had decided early on that the private sector was going to do what it does best. It was going to figure out how to make money and have events and have fun with this event,
yeah,
or with this celestial event. And we decided early on that the museum and other organizations that were interested in doing educational things needed to be free to do that, but that the city was not going to get into that business of educating or making,
yeah,
money. We were going to get into the business or stay in the business of providing public safety and helping to ensure that this is a healthy and safe place for all of those guests to be. And so we've been doing a lot of planning with throughout the region since last December. And so we're happy to share some of that planning with you. But beyond that, I hope we get a chance to talk more about just the role that individual citizens can play in helping to make this successful for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And is this a situation where, I look at this, and one of the questions that I had is, we're going to be using our police officers more and our other first responders. In terms of the cost, is there going to be a big additional cost to the taxpayers of Idaho Falls for this, I guess, regional event? Because this kind of will be the hub.
I wouldn't say additional cost. It, mm-hmm, will be absorbed by the city. It will likely just come out of our operating, our general fund, which,
yeah,
we keep a reserve in there for,
okay,
things. I don't want to say for things like this. We keep a reserve in there for emergencies.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we could call this an emergency because we actually knew that it was coming. But at the same time, we didn't really know enough about this. There's no record that you can go to
right,
this country where we can kind of get an idea of the costs. So it is going to be very expensive. Overtime for police officers and firefighters and emergency medical technicians is not inexpensive,
yeah,
but some of the other costs associated with this, deferring sanitation pickup for one day and then putting it on a Saturday pickup for everybody who was on the Friday, you know, how we shift,
yeah,
it all by one day,
yeah,
you know, that has a little bit of a cost. Putting out road cones and things like that, or,
yeah,
putting up signage that's additional, all of those things have a cost. I think we're going to be looking at a couple $100,000 is my guess,
yeah,
but it could be a little bit more. That it could be double that, for,
sure,
all I know.
But the reserve's healthy enough to absorb that, though.
It is. It,
yeah,
it's, you know, scary. Then what do we do next year if we have a depleted,
right,
reserve and something big come up? So,
yeah,
we have to. We're always constantly fretting about that. But
we know there won't be another eclipse next year, though. So that's good.
You're
right.
Well, this is no different than the kind of fretting that, yeah, most homeowners do all the time when they,
yeah,
have to dip into their savings to pay for a new water heater. Right.
Yeah.
It's just, oh,
right,
boy, I'm a little concerned, but,
sure,
we're
going to
move on.
Yeah. Do you feel ready 10 days out? Do you feel, I don't know if you ever feel ready, but do you feel like, okay, we're ready to go?
I will say I feel ready. I don't feel ready, like you just,
yeah,
put it, but I do feel ready. I have a lot of confidence, and I hope that as we get done talking this morning, you'll begin to see why. A lot of confidence in the forethought that our first responders,
yeah,
and the response teams have put into this.
Let's shift to Carrie for just a moment. Carrie, I was in a meeting with you just a couple of days ago with all of the information people, a lot of different agencies, private groups. ERMAC is there, the hospitals, and those sorts of people. Give us an update on that front. Is that whole crew, that whole team of people ready for this big event?
Referring to public information,
yes,
officers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have PIOs or public information officers in various entities. That's health department, the hospital, the county, the city. And we meet on a regular basis. Of course, those meetings have stepped up since this spring when we started to hear more and more about the,
yeah,
eclipse, and our planning started to step up. The benefit of that is that we come together and we share the information that we know directly from our officials. So we're passing along that information and sharing it so that we keep the messaging consistent and then we get the right information out to the public. A couple weeks ago, as you're aware, after our community meeting, we had a viral Facebook post that went out that had misinformation in it.
Yeah.
And kind of actually went against everything that we had already put out.
Right.
And because we have a great relationship with all of our public information officers here regionally and we work together so well, and a great relationship with our media partners, we were able to, you know, help control those rumors. And then, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know, I will say this, because when I saw that, and it came across probably three times on my feed, and I realized this thing is going viral. And so I'm like, you want to stop that sort of misinformation as soon as you possibly can, because it can get spread far and wide. And I that's when KID wrote their post and put that out in response to it. And it was probably one of the most viral Facebook posts we've had. And I was sort of heartened to see that the people sort of felt that obligation to get good information out there. Mm-hmm.
Correct. So. I mean, I know there are well-intentioned people wanting to help and share the information, but it's just like that old telephone. You tell one person, that one person gets it a little wrong and tells it to another person, and then it gets really wrong. So, you know, we're just encouraging people to reach out to our media partners, reach out to our official pages for information, because the information that we are sharing, we're sharing it directly to you, to the media. And so that's where people need to go to get their information about the eclipse.
Yeah.
So
let me ask, and I guess this would be appropriate for either of you, what is the biggest rumor, or the biggest piece of misinformation that you've had to counter in the last few weeks?
I think one of them is probably from Idaho Transportation Department, that we're just going to open up the freeway in one direction and, you know, everybody out at one time.
Yeah.
That's not true. The freeway is going to function in the same way as it did before. So that's been one of the rumors.
This isn't really a rumor. It's a new concern. Excuse me.
Oh, you're fine.
It's a new concern about the smoke in the air and how that's going to block the eclipse. And I've actually reached out to try to get an answer, and I have, you know, official answer from people who know about smoke in the air, which is a little bit hard to do. But I think that we're going to be able to. Well, we will find that looking up, you don't see as much smoke, and that's when the eclipse is going to be at its high point for us. But people are you know, worried that we're going to see a wave of cancellations because there are fires in Montana. I mean. We'll figure it out. But
And luckily that power line fire is about put out. And so that's not putting out smoke. So hopefully it'll be all right. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have another segment with Idaho Falls Mayor Rebecca Casper. Also, Carrie Hammond overseeing communications for the eclipse operations. That's coming up just a few minutes away right here on KID. 7:45 now on KID's Morning News. I'm Neil Larson, and joining us in studio this morning talking about the eclipse is Idaho Falls Mayor Rebecca Casper and also Public Information Officer Carrie Hammond, who's overseeing the regional communications on this. So at the meeting at the Civic Auditorium, Mayor, I loved the encouragement that you gave to local residents to be good ambassadors for the city and for the region, to exercise patience and kindness and to be helpful. And I think maybe add to that, you know, the hope that those people who come here, the impression that they'll leave with after the eclipse is over.
Well, you know, this is important on a couple of levels. I think it's just important on the basic level. We're all, Eastern Idaho is full of good, normal, down-to-earth, you know, people.
Yeah.
And we certainly want to give that impression and use that that kind of hospitality that we normally exude. We want to do that. But it's also important at a business level. The state spends lots of money each year trying to promote Idaho as a destination for tourism, as a really great place to visit. We have beautiful mountains and beautiful lakes, and certainly here in Eastern Idaho, we know that we receive a lot of benefit each summer from the tourists that pass through on their way to Yellowstone, and we capture them at Bear World, and we capture them in our museums and our zoo, and that's very healthy for our local economy. Our hotels are booked from, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day because this is a destination, and we want to make sure that all of that investment in that hospitality at that level, that tourism level, is not wasted by people coming here and having a poor experience because it's crowded. And so there's a lot. I think everybody's going to understand that it's crowded, no matter where you're from,
sure,
when you're here, and why it's crowded, because there's this cool thing happening in the skies.
Yeah.
But we do need to, just try a little harder to be patient and to smile and to take a deep breath and to know, hey, you know, we may not love the crowds. We may kind of resent everybody being in our way for a few days. Mm-hmm. But this is a tremendous opportunity to sell the place.
I was actually in Arco a week ago tonight. And I stopped there to grab a burger because I'd been up in Mackey. And there was one couple from Germany and then another family that was not speaking English. They sounded very European, was there as well. And I thought, in little old Arco, are we starting to see an influx of people coming here, getting ready for the eclipse, making this their vacation spot?
I think so. And in fact, and Carrie, you may have different stories, but I drive past the Walmart on the west side of town Utah Avenue every day practically, mm-hmm. and you cannot visit there without finding tourists who want to see American Walmart store, right?
And
they're visiting, and we do have a lot of international experience going on, you know, even this week before the eclipse. There's something else I wanted to point out, and I know I don't want to cut you off, Carrie, if you have something you need to add, but we also have a unique situation where we have an awful lot of return missionaries here in this area, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the LDS influence of return missionaries. A lot of languages are inherent in our community. And I think that's going to be a wonderful thing for some guests to come and find that they can find a native speaker.
Sure. And speaking of that, there's a coordinated effort. I know the stake president in Rexburg was putting out a call for foreign speakers to be available in case there's an emergency or there's a need for a translator. So,
well, even without that call being put out, I think we're going to find our residents are stepping up because, you know, once you know a language, you want to use it. This is everybody's chance to really have fun with it.
No, that's great. Camping spots, are there some still available?
From last I heard, yes. The city has a couple of camping sites. Carrie, you want to fill them in?
We've opened up 3 city parks for overnight camping during the eclipse. Mm-hmm. So we have Idle Falls Raceway Noise Park. We also have a South Tourist Park, which we have converted into a pay-to-stay park anyway. And then we also have Sandy Downs, which is where we'll have the Brothers Osborne concert.
Yeah.
So those 3 city parks have been opened up for overnight camping, so they can call Parks and Rec to reserve those spots.
Or go online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about people renting out their backyard, for instance? I know there's been a lot of question about what are the, you know, the bureaucratic, you know, the things that people need to do in order to do that legitimately.
Right. So within the city of Idaho Falls limits, our residential property is not zoned for RV campers and tents all over in backyards. We're just not zoned to accommodate that. Those are only areas, you know, campgrounds, designated campgrounds already, our city parks are for overnight camping. Mm-hmm. However, if people want to do it outside in the county, they need to call whatever county office to find out information.
Yeah.
I know that Jefferson County is allowing that to happen, but they need to call either Bonneville County or wherever they're at to find out if that is zoned properly to do so.
But if I could just weigh in, if you've got a house full of guests, you know, and you've got the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and everybody coming to visit, and, you know, dad wants to supervise a sleep out in the backyard with a tent, that's home. You know, that's fine. That's different.
Not, what if, and not for any, you know, money, it's not making money, but if a friend wants to just park their RV at the curb overnight, is that outside the realm?
As long as it's not being used as a domicile, I think it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you have to be careful with not blocking your neighbor's driveways and all of that.
But, sure.
And hopefully many of those RVs can pull into driveways so that they're not really messing up the roadways.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. But it's a little gray. There is some gray areas in there.
It's hard. This is hard. And, you know, we don't have a lot of intent to police this. We don't have a resource for enforcement. We need our first responders out dealing with safety issues.
Intent to regulate camping is a great pun, by the way. That's good. So. Tell us a little bit more about the call center, Carrie, that this we talked about in the last segment, the unanticipated expense of that.
Right. So. We're working on setting up a call center, so we'll have one line for people to call in for information about the eclipse. I'll have that information out probably the beginning of next week. Yeah. I don't want to release it quite yet because it's not set up and we're not sure. ready to take those phone calls.
Yeah.
However, our website is a great source of information. The county's website is a good source of information about the eclipse. We have just a page set up on the City of Idle Falls website with all the information there. Also, you know, our dispatch services are inundated as it is, so we need to make sure that people are only calling 911 for emergency yeah. purposes, not to ask for directions somewhere. So please keep those lines open for emergencies.
And so is that what the call center is designed to do, is to, if people have generic questions or if they're having a non-emergency issue, to call that then?
Correct.
Yeah.
Not a law enforcement. So there's 911 if there's an emergency. If you yeah. need police, fire, EMS, call 911.
Yeah.
If you have a law enforcement issue that's not an emergency, we have the 529-1200, the non-emergent line for dispatch. You can call that line. However, if you have questions about general questions about the eclipse or city services, mm-hmm. we'll have one line set up that people can call.
Yeah. Let's see. I had one more issue. I can't remember. Last thoughts.
Well, there are a couple things that would be worth talking about at some point. One would be the need maybe for residents to take advantage of this week that we're in right now before the visitors start really showing up in full force next Friday. And get your gas, get your tank full of gas. Make mm-hmm. sure that you've purchased all the food and medication that you're going to need so that if it becomes really crowded, that you don't have to go out unnecessarily or maybe undesirably out into traffic areas to get your prescription filled.
Yeah.
So take care of the preparedness piece if you can. Another would be to make sure that you get your eyewear that you're going to need. You don't want to have anybody looking up. And little kids need to be taught. You know, moms need to make sure they teach the kids, don't look up. We're going to have glasses for everybody. And those are pretty readily available. You can get them from eye doctors. You can get them from the variety stores. You can get them from radio stations.
Yes, right here. We got loads of
My office
of them,
has so. Some. So there's no excuse for not getting them. You just have to make sure that you do that. Put it on your errand list and make sure it's done. Also wanted to just talk about maybe traffic for just a second.
Sure.
We know it's kind of a math problem. We can measure the length of the road between here and the Utah border. Mm-hmm. We can identify the number of guests we're sort of expecting on even on the low end. And you do the math, and not everybody fits on the road at the same time. It's going to be jammed up. And so we're going to have to make sure that people know that, again, that full tank of gas is important. Having whatever resources you need in your vehicle with you if you have to hit the road. Just the whole patience thing, water bottles. We will try to have, ITD is going to have some porta potties along the interstate for if things get really intense.
Brilliant, by the way. I love that idea. I hope they leave them there because, you know, I drink that big Diet Coke on my way to.
So, Carrie, do you have other thoughts on the traffic and patience on that?
No, just thoughts ahead of time is just prepare. Go find the information now. You know, if we have problems with, one thing also, if we have problems with cell service and people can't call 911, find the nearest landline or brush off that dusty phone that you no longer use. You can plug it in and you can still dial 911 from it.
Well, and that's been part of my thing, is to tell people, know where your nearest landline is in your neighborhood. Just in case.
That's a good point. Well, the other thing is, be prepared for your cell phone to not be working, and be prepared for your credit card charges not to go through. So get some cash.
Oh,
visit
true.
The ATM this week and get some cash if you can. And then the last thing is, you know, with all of this preparedness talk, we forget that we need to have fun. Prepare to enjoy this. Look around. Find a concert. We have some incredibly learned people coming to speak to us, astronomers from NASA, people coming to teach us. There are lectures going on at the Museum of Idaho. There's a big event at Melaleuca Field. There's the concert going on at Sandy Downs. There's ample opportunity. Let's enjoy the moment and have good stories to tell about the great eclipse of 2017.
Mayor Rebecca Casper, Public Information Officer Carrie Hammond, thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.